Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dykewood Mills. That draws us to.
God is feeding down deep in my heart since I found you, and I'm on my way. Deep in sin, I'm falling deeper and deeper into my sinful way, and I'm on my way. I have found a new life. Stuck on you, I found a place and this is where I'm gonna stay, and I'm on my way. Jesus, this is where I find love and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, and I'm on my way. Faithful saying that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came into the world to save a sinner like me. Oh, I was lost in sin and shame, but you gave your life for me. I don't want to ever have to lose my calling. I love the brethren, I love my pastor, I love the church. Lord, I love to be with you. Lord, I'm gonna stick with you. God, this feeling down deep in my heart since I found you, and I'm on my way. Jesus, deep in sin, I'm falling deeper and deeper into my sinful way, and I'm on. Saying that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. I was lost in sin and shame, but you gave your life for me. Oh, I don't wanna ever Jesus, I love the church. Lord, I love to be with you. Lord, I'm gonna stick with you. 'Cause I'm stuck on you. I've got this feeling down deep in my heart since I found you. Now I'm on my way. Jesus, deep in sin, I'm falling deeper and deeper into my sinful way. And I'm on my way. I found a new life. I found a new life. I found a new life.
Amen. It's time for testimonies. Amen. How many of us are becoming wiser through the testimonies? This morning we have powerful testimonies. I want you to help me welcome Amadako to share her testimony with us. Put your hands together as we welcome Ama. Oh, I think your hand clap is weak. Please put your hands together for Amadako.
Hello everyone, my name is Ama. I'm a final year dental student in Kolebu. Now my first testimony is about how Daddy's prophecies helped me excel in my exam last year. Last year was very intense for me for a number of reasons, and I was asked to start a church too in the process. And I know that I didn't know how to go about it, so I decided to start listening to one of Daddy's messages, Sweet Influence of the Holy Spirit on the Level of Your Intelligence. So I kept it on replay in the night, even when I'm sleeping. And one of the things he said in the message was that the Holy Spirit gives you knowledge about things you would normally not know. And I saw it manifested in my exam, because things I studied was exactly what came, and things I didn't study and I was panicky about, there were the things that didn't come, and I didn't know how it could only have been God. I remember when I was going for my viva, I anointed myself with the oil that Daddy prayed on from Not By Might, Not By Power series, and that the vibes were phenomenal. I could tell that God's hand was at work. I could tell that the favor of God really helped me. And truly, truly, when the exam came, I had not only passed, but I had a credit. And I can only say to the glory of God, I want to encourage you that what Daddy says here, they are real. The pronunciations he makes on us, they are very real. And then they are made manifest in our lives. My second testimony is about how I believed in the prophecy that Daddy said, and then I was able to secure a visa to the UK. Now, I remember during my processing, someone came to give a quick testimony about how she had applied several times in vain, and she finally got to where she believes. Now, I hadn't, by God's grace, I've not been refused a visa before, but I believed, I took it for myself that this time as I'm going, this is not going to be my first bouncing. And truly, truly, when I went, out of where three friends who went to submit our documents, I was the only one who had it on my first try. And I believe that it's God who helped me. I believe in the message that Daddy said. And I want to encourage us that the testimonies that we say here, some of them may look funny to you, but they are real. And then people are receiving from it, so you might as well receive what you can from it too. Amen.
Amen. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. We have another testimony. Help me welcome Shakel to give us his testimony. Please put your hands together as he comes to share his testimony with us.
Amen. Good morning. My name is Shakel Griffith, and I'm from the Anakazo Bible Seminary, and also in one of the best groups, the Dancing Stars. Amen. Okay, my testimony today is about how The prayers of our father helped my cousin to be healed from a brain disease that he had. Amen. Last Saturday, as I was on Facebook, I saw a post from my grandmother saying that she had a picture with my cousin up, and she was saying, please pray for my grandson. He's sick in the hospital. He needs all your prayers and these things. So I was like, what is this about? So I said, okay, let me text her and see what's about. So as she was explaining to me, she says that he has a brain disease on the left side of his brain, which is an inflammation forming. Inflammation forming on the left side, on the left lining of his brain. So I was like, oh mercy. So I told her, I said, Granny, the Holy Spirit is telling me that, you know what, we should take communion. So after I said that, she went offline. Like, she didn't say anything, but I saw that the message was read. So she didn't say anything. So I said, oh, I started feeling kind of down and worried in my spirit. So I said, and one of my friends, he saw that I was kind of down. So he said, what's wrong? I told him, and he said, okay, let's go and pray about it. And we went, I prayed. After we prayed, I felt a little more confident. So after that, I said, still no result or anything. So I said, okay, next day when I come to church. And at that time, our father, he was giving the communion. So I said, you know what, I'm taking this communion in faith of my cousin, because I wasn't sure if they took it. So I said, I'm taking this in faith of my cousin. And I called his name and I said, God, when I take this communion, may the next time I get a result from them, that, you know what, it will be different, the story will be different. Amen. So I took the communion. Our father prayed, he proclaimed everything, and he said blessings and healings and everything. So that same Sunday, to the glory of God, when I was on the bus about to go back home, I was on Facebook again. So that's where I get all my news. They don't tell me things. So anyway, I was on Facebook again, and I saw a post from my aunt this time, and she was saying, thank you all for your prayers and all these things. My son, he's healed, he's at home, he's better, he's stronger, and everything. So I contacted her, and I said, auntie, is everything okay now? And she said, yes, and these things. So I said, did you take the communion that I told you? She said, oh, I forgot, or she didn't get to do it, or something like that. So I said, okay, this was the communion that I took. It was because I took the communion on behalf of my cousin. So I just want to encourage you all to believe in the communion. If your family won't take it, you take it on their behalf, and they will be healed. They will be saved. And I just want to thank God. I want to take this opportunity, and I want to thank our Father Bishop Doug Ewan Mills for all the prophecies, for everything that he has said. I mean, just coming to the First Love Church, it has changed my life. Amen. And I just want to give him thanks and thank God. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. We have another testimony. Help me welcome Happy to share her testimony with us. Please encourage her.
Praise the Lord. My name is Happy Zeku, and I want to thank God for the wonderful things he's done in my life, and for how he healed me during the camp. During the camp, I woke up on Thursday morning and I realized I couldn't talk. My throat was, so I don't really know what happened, but talking was difficult for me. And then during the worship in the morning, as Pastor Frank was leading worship, I felt this release in my throat and I was healed. I thank God. And my second testimony goes like this, how I got established in First Love. Before the camp, I was having issues because my dad passed away, and just a week before the camp, I had to go for his funeral, and I came back. I was a bit discouraged because I didn't really grow up with him. I was just getting to know my dad, and all of a sudden he passed away. And it's a pastor that takes care of me. So for me to come here, I was afraid of telling him that I'm leaving that church and I'm joining First Love. And every time I come, I remember LPT now would tell me, you have to be established. This is where I love to be, because when I come, I'm loved. I feel the joy of loving God. But I got the courage to tell my dad, that my guardian dad, that I'm coming here. And he was okay, you can go, because I was afraid he might stop paying my fees, and it's very much. But by God's grace, I got established here, and I'm doing well by God's grace. I thank God for Bishop's life and for the testimonies that has changed my life. Today, I'm blessed to be here. Thank you.
Amen. We have our final testimony. Let's welcome Emmanuel Bentil to share his testimony with us.
Hallelujah. My name is Emmanuel Bentil, First Love Mampong. My testimony is about how Daddy's prayers are working in my life. On 31st December, Daddy prayed and he said, every child here is receiving the ability to build. And early in the year, I told my mom that we should build, and I managed to let her understand. And we got a land outside Accra. And I used to work in one of the towers in Mampong, and I really loved the place. So I took pictures and we started building. And by the grace of God, we finished the house. And I would like to encourage everyone here to be strong in the grace which is in the house. That these prayers, that these prophecies, they really work. I would like to thank Daddy for making me a builder. A young boy like me, I have a house. And also I would like to thank Daddy for teaching me how to have my quiet time, the precious moments in my life. Amen.
Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Word of God. If you're excited, make some noise. Let's welcome our Father, Bishop Dagwood Mills.
Hallelujah. Are you glad to be here? Let us pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the blessedness of your word. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for showing us what to do. Thank you for your blessing, Lord. Lead us. We are glad to be here. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Wow. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm preaching about you must love the Lord. Amen. You must love the Lord. How many love the Lord? Wow. Now, why must you love the Lord? Because loving God is very, very important. And loving God is very important in your life. Is the most important thing that you do is to love God. So today, I'm sharing with you about loving God. You must love the Lord. Why must you love the Lord? You must love the Lord because it is the greatest commandment. Jesus said, the great commandment is to love the Lord. Amen. So if that is the greatest commandment, then that's very important for you and for me. The first and the great commandment is to love the Lord. All right? You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might and all your strength. Amen. Are you excited about that? Right. Where is Danny? And be on stage, please. Whoever. All right. Now, I want you to really believe when somebody says something, it's important. It's actually the reason for many breakups of relationships. It's when you say to somebody, this is important, and the person doesn't listen carefully. That's one of the big reasons why people... Who are um, who end up spoiling their friendships and their relationships. Hallelujah. So, those of you who have beloveds and don't want to lose your beloved, right? When the person says, I don't like this, or I like this, believe it. Because that is something important to the person. And then when you are married, also, somebody says, I like this, or I don't like this. Very important. But most of the time, when you say something is important to me, you know, people always have their version of what's important. And that's actually, this is the pivot over which relationships break and friendships end. Because you say, this is important to me. The person doesn't take it so seriously or assumes that that's not what should be important. Because everybody has what you think should be important to you. I think you should think is important is this. Or what I'm saying is not true. Is that not how all relationships get spoiled? Almost every relationship that gets spoiled on this particular point. Somebody says, this is a great commandment, and you say, this should not be the great. The important one should be worship. Worship should be important to you, O God. Or the word of God should be important. Or something should be important. The one that the person says should be important doesn't look powerful. Doesn't look like it should be that important. Almost every relationship, boy and girl, that don't work well. This is the topic. Whether it is, food, sex, relation, talking, dressing, smiling, quarreling, fighting, whatever. The person says, this, though, what I do, I say, I don't like this one. And you are saying, you should like it. What I'm saying, it is true or it is not true? Yeah. That's why I'm staying on this point a bit, because even though it's about loving God, you know, loving God is similar to loving a human being, and all the things that are in loving God, you find it in loving human beings as well, and you have all those problems. Same. All right. So I'm teaching you a master key. You know, you may be beautiful, but the person you are marrying just likes clean, not beautiful per se. Clean. All right? Clean. Not beautiful, clean. And you think hair is important. Makeup is important. This is important. Or you may be into makeup. Remember, I don't like artificial. Like I, for instance, I notice makeup. Because the person looks artificial to me. If you put on makeup, well, we wouldn't know that you have makeup. But you see people look like dead bodies. A lot of brides, they come to church, they look like dead, like a corpse. Totally covered with some brown cream, which we know is not your skin color. It's not your skin. Your arm color is different from your face color. Alright? So, although I'm not preaching about marriage, and I'm not preaching about relationships, I'm preaching about loving God. You can get some tips for your relationship right there. Don't trifle with an important person to you's opinion of what is important to him. if the person is important. Alright? Because you have your big... Years ago, I told Bishop Saki and Bishop Eddie, you know, they said it was my birthday. They said they were going to buy me a present. And then I told them that the present that I wanted was Monopoly. A game Monopoly. Alright? Yes. And then they thought that somebody like me shouldn't like a game like Monopoly. Which I don't see why they should think so. But that is what they felt for me. Like they were choosing for me what will make me happy. So on my birthday, they came with a nice box. When I opened the box, what was in the box? A flask. And they said that I should use the flask. So I said, put it there. And I didn't say anything. It was only when I was preaching that I said it. Why should you say I shouldn't play Monopoly? I could play Monopoly through the night. Yes. Buying houses, selling houses, buying hotels, going to jail, coming out of jail, so many things. I could play Monopoly through the night, as if I'm doing all night. And when we get to a place where we cannot end, so we leave it as it is, we sleep, we wake up and continue. And now I say that what I want, because I have not seen Monopoly for so many years. I said, what I want is Monopoly. And you've gone to buy what? A flask. Is it right? So, I want to encourage everybody here to listen when God says that the great commandment, like what's important to me, is that you should love me. You should love God. Don't joke with it. Don't say, well, I'm into prayer. I'm into fasting. Fasting is the most important. Worship is the most important. Don't choose what is important for somebody who is important to you, or somebody whom you love, or somebody who is as great as God. Don't choose for him what's important. Okay? He has chosen what's important. He has enough sense to choose what is important. You know, sometimes as a pastor, you see people, it's not easy to get a husband. You know, then you are fortunate, a brother comes, you get somebody, and then you mess around. And not all brothers will stay with nonsense. And brothers, I would advise you, don't stay with nonsense. Charlie, marriage is not, you are not in a condemned cell. As for breaking of relationships, that is not married. It's not in the Bible that you shouldn't break your relationship. So if you are in the relationship and you see that what I'm seeing is a sign of future torment, Charlie, eject, press the button and just go out of the thing. Whatever you are seeing in the relationship, that's what you see in the marriage. It's called what? Seesaw. You see what you saw. What you saw is what you see. All the members of the Greater Love Club, the older members of our church, after I finish preaching, go and ask them whether what I'm saying is true or not. Just ask them, though, please. We wanted to ask you, what was preached? Is it true? Don't spoil your relationships, especially if it is important to you. Believe it. The person says, I like clean, which means bathing. It means what? Bath. So okay, I don't bath in the evening. After I go out and I come, the person says, I like bathing. It's what I like. Amen. So God is telling us what is important to him is you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. This is very important to God. Not that you just arrive and you don't really love Him. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. Very important scripture. It says, I speak not as by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. You see, it is important for us to prove the sincerity of our love for God. Amen. And in this case, he was talking about giving. So you can prove to God that you love Him. Amen. How many want to prove to God that you love Him? I want you to prove to Him that you love Him. Not me, Him. Your love for God is very important. Amen. Now, there is nothing, listen to this, oh. There is nothing like love without giving. John 3:16, please. Turn to John 3:16. John 3:16. There is nothing like love without giving. God so loved the world that He gave. He did what? He gave. Giving is your grand way of proving your love. Now, if I marry you, you know, if a man marries a woman, all right, he is giving her his name. He's giving her his house, if he has somewhere. He's giving her his seat. He's giving her social recognition. Status. All the unmarried women and girls are praying for that. True or not true? A boyfriend doesn't give you that. A boyfriend doesn't give you that at all. You can have 100 boyfriends, but they may not give you that social standing that only a husband can give. Yes. So it's very important for us all to realize that loving involves giving. So it is sad when somebody loves you, marries you, or beloved doses you, and you respond by being suspicious of the person. The one who signed the agreement. Apart from those who said, I love you, didn't sign, didn't marry you, didn't sit down with you. This one said he's your beloved. And your response to that is, you like somebody else. It's a high level of bad response. True or not true? So, it's also a very sad thing when somebody loves you greatly and your response to it is flatness. Which is what? Nothingness. No response. No response. If I love this pillar there with the red light, and I love it and I surround it with all my love, it will still be standing there. No response. No movement. No change. No adjustment. No modification. No response to everything that I do and I say. And some people are like that. I pray you will not get one like that. Father, grant divine escapes from bad marriages in Jesus' name. The other day, I don't know whether it was your group, but there was a group I was sharing about what we call an IMC. Is it you people? What is an IMC? an ill married couple. A couple who are ill married, like it was like a diseased connection from day one. An ill married couple. It's like a managing director with a bad assistant, or a president with a bad vice president, or bad whatever. Ill married couple, IMC. Tell your neighbor, it is declared that you will never be in an IMC.
It is declared that you will never be in an IMC.
Amen. So God wants you to learn how to love Him. And loving will involve giving. Giving. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Giving what? Giving everything that you can give to Him. Amen. Verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You see, first of all, they gave themselves. The first act of love is to give yourself, your whole person. Years ago, when God called me, I offered Him money. Because you see, doctors, I was going to go to America to work. And doctors in America, they earn a lot of money. Yeah. One day, one of my friend's son went on the internet and saw the salary of doctors and came to his father and said, "Hey, daddy, is this the amount of money that you are earning?" He was shocked. They earn a lot of money. A friend of mine, he said he was going to buy some machine, I think, for outside. And his wife told him, "Don't buy this thing because I know you. You will not use it. You don't like gardens and such things." But he said, "I will buy it." And he was insisted on buying it. And his wife was totally against it. This is a doctor. So he bought it. And when he came, on the first day, he just tried it. And he said, "Oh, this thing is not nice." And that was the end of it. And his wife said, I told you not to buy it. And he told his wife, "Oh, this is just $2,000. It's just one night. And if I work for just one night, I just kill this one." Tell somebody, one night. Yes. One night. But, so this was what I was planning to give to God. I said, "Lord, I'm going to be a wild American doctor. Bring a lot of money to you." And the Lord said, "No. I want you. I want you. I don't need your money." Wow. Now, I didn't understand it. I just felt that God was difficult. How many have ever felt that God is difficult? He's not difficult, though. He's kind. So I said to the Lord, "Okay." Then I met a man in London. This was in 1980. Must be 1983. I met a man in London whose thumb was cut off. So he had only four fingers like this. And I asked him what happened. He said, "Oh, he was in the factory. And these machines that cut. And then his hand went in. And it cut off his thumb." I said, "It must be very difficult for you to lose your thumb like that." He said, "Oh no, I'm very happy that my thumb was cut off." I said, "Why?" He said, "Oh, they paid me a lot of money for my thumb. They paid me a lot of money for my thumb." So I asked him, "How much did they pay you for your thumb?" And at that time, he said they paid, at that time, that was when the accident happened, they paid him about £8,000 for his thumb. And it's about three or four times now. So maybe about 30, It's the price of what?
Civil litigation, the price of a finger is currently £80,000.
£80,000. Yes. He's a lawyer. He's from England. £80,000 for one finger. Now, that's a lot of money. Now, let's count our fingers and do some calculation. 80,000 times 10 is £800,000. How much is an arm? Huh?
The more it affects your work, the higher it goes. So if you are like you're a laborer or somebody that uses their arm, it can be up to even £500,000 because it's what you would have earned using your arm. So depending, so a normal person's arm would be about, let's say, £200,000 at least. But if you work, your source of living is from your arm, about £500,000.
So like all you would have earned for your life that you didn't end because you don't have an arm,
including retirement.
So like £500,000, £700,000. So as one finger is 80,000, 10 is 800,000, an arm will be about what? £500,000. So two arms is what? 1,000,000. And then how much will a kidney be? They sell kidneys in Pakistan. About 10,000, 20,000. If you have kidney failure, you can get a kidney, 20,000. So when I started calculating the value of my body, myself, I realized that I was quite expensive. So God was asking me for more than just an offering of $10 or $20 or $1,000. So the highest thing to show your love is to give yourself to God, yourself to God. So God wants you to give himself to show that you love him. Amen. That is why on Saturdays we have outreach. Our first service is on Saturday. We have rehearsals, groups. Give yourself. Don't sit in the church without being in something. You don't love the Lord when you don't give yourself. Just sending your money is not the same as giving yourself. Sending your money is not the same as giving yourself. Oh, here, take 10 CDs. Oh God, take 20. So you give yourself when you love the Lord. Give yourself when you love the Lord. Amen. So after giving yourself, we come to lower things like money. Paying tithes. It's a sign of showing that you love God. Now, if God blesses you with 1,000 Ghana cedis, if in your mind, God gave me the 1,000 cedis, and I have a relationship, even when you love people, if you are blessed, you start thinking of who to bless. I remember a brother in the church years ago. God blessed him in his business. He had breakthroughs that he had never imagined before. And I always remember that when he was blessed in that way, there were particular people that he remembered in the day of his good time. Oh yes, including the church. I'll never forget. I always remember. He remembered this person, bought a car for this person, bought a car for this one. But he bought a number of cars for a number of people. Then he blessed the church with huge offerings that I have not seen before. I always remember. This must be so many years ago. 15 years, 20 years ago. Yeah. But it's like, even when you love someone, in the day of your goodness, good things, you remember the people you love and you start to do something for them. I met an ambassador once from an African country in Geneva, and he said to me, my wife knows that when I have money, I will cover her with gold. I'll do what? I'll cover her with gold. Bishop Joel, are you covering your wife with gold? We are not seeing the gold. Tell the nearest person to you that if God blesses you, you will cover your beloved and your wife with gold. But what about the church? What about God's house? Wow. Some people, if they God blesses them with something, they will keep it from people. Make sure you never put your finger on this. Especially sometimes even married couples. And they get something that they'll secure so that this one cannot touch it. Ever. Even if the person dies. So I ensure that my husband or my whatever wife does not get hold of this. So you can love God and give him, you know, give yourself, and then you give. So verse 8 says that we should look at this. So verse 8, second 8, he says that to prove, he's asking him to give, to prove the sincerity of your love. It's easy to say I love you. Let me demonstrate. All of you girls, eh? I love you, I'll marry you. I love you, I'll marry you. It's cheap. I love you, I'll marry you. 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 I love you, I'll marry you.
Surely.
It's nothing. It means nothing. It's just talking. I'm just talking. I love you, I'll marry you. I love you, I'll marry you. I love you, I'll marry you. I love 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 you. It's nothing. I've done nothing. It's just talk. But to prove the sincerity of your love, then I call you out and say, come and let's sign. I'm signing my name on this thing. Like from today, you are Mrs. Hayward Mills. Wow. And I'm showing that my words are not empty words. Yeah. What do you think? And how will you respond to that? By being what, flat? Or by attacking me? Wickedness. All right. Tell somebody you must love the Lord. That's the main thing. Yes. That's the main thing. You must love the Lord. You must show him that you love him. You must tell him that you love him. It's the main thing. And love gives. You give yourself. Then you give things to the person you love. Oh, I'm wrong. You give yourself, then you give things to the person you love. I love my wife. I give myself to her. And I give things to her. Yes. Whatever I have is for her. All my life it has been. I don't like even asking me for money. It's something I hate. Ask for money. No, no, no. What I have is for her. Yes. I've never had a quarrel about money. From the poorest of my life. From zero. I hate couples quarreling about money. Ah! Where is the receipt? What you went to buy, I gave you. Where is the receipt? Where is the change? You are asking your beloved for receipt for the money what you gave her to go and buy something. When you are quarreling about money, you have a low level of relationship. Oh yes. Don't you think so? Suppose I told you that I'm slapping my wife, fighting. She's also giving me blows because of 200 CDs. It's a low level. And some of you, your houses, your mothers and fathers have been quarreling over money for years, and you've been watching it, and maybe God is even going to bless you with more, but you have learned how to quarrel over money. So like a reflex, you are moving into the future with that spirit. But all my first love children, your marriages are going to be the best marriages, I tell you. Yes. Husbands who don't provide for their wives are fend for yourself husbands, which is a dangerous thing. What is money? Even if you don't have, you say, look, I don't have. These are what I have. I cannot cut off my head. What I have, I've given. But you see, people are hiding the money and using it for other things. The person who says he doesn't have money, suddenly he will come and manifest manifestations. Wow. Oh, you don't understand my message. Can you hear me at the back there? Can you hear me? You look as if you are not part of the you are understanding the message. Yes. So now, I want us to love God by these two things. Give yourself to God, and then give whatever you can give out of your love for Him. Even He doesn't have to ask you. That's what I'm saying. That you see, when I got married at first, my wife would ask for money. I said, I don't like that. Here is the money. What I have is here. Take. Don't ask. Take. If you love God, I tell you, you will not even, nobody will even ask. Please, God needs some paint for the church. God needs loudspeakers. You will not even ask. You even dislike that is asked. You rise up and you do what is needed. So these are the two strong ways of showing love, is to give yourself. Look, anybody who says he loves you and he's not going to give himself to you, which means to sign and give you his name so that you'll be Mrs. John or Johnson, it doesn't love you. It's talking. True or not true? Watch out for brothers who propose to you and they are going to marry you in 4 years' time, 5 years' time. So I've proposed to her. We are planning to marry in 2021. I'll be going abroad. We'll marry in 2021, 22. Our wedding is scheduled for 2022. Do you know how many people he's going to meet from now till 2022? By that time, you'll be a Yomo and you will not be able to. Wow. Tell somebody you must love the Lord. Are you going to love the Lord? Yeah. And I'm showing you how to show him that you love God. We can't see God. Where is he? And how you love him is you give yourself to him. And then you give to him. I'm giving myself to him. Whatever, even to die. It's whatever I like it, if that's what he wants. And what I have also, I give to him. I'm one of the greatest givers in this church. If I don't know anybody who gives more than me. Yes, what I have, any connection, anything I have, I use it. Oh yeah, the other day, you know, I was telling the Lord, I was discussing with the Lord. I said, look, I don't know how many years I will live. Whatever I have now, I want to deploy it for his work. And for us, I love him. Yes. My children, I give to the Lord. My children, I give to the Lord. Yes. When my son came from England from school, I told him, come here, there's a building site. Start a church here. He started the first day, four people. Every day they were here in the sunshine. After qualifying as a lawyer, with jobs calling him from Dubai, from here, from Qatar, all over, come, international jobs. So you would like to be a pastor? I love it. I love it. I love it. If all my children would serve the Lord, I would like it. It's up to them. I told them they can stay, they should be in church when they are children. When they grow up, they can even join any other religion if they want to. But once in my house, even my cats and my dogs are all Christians. Huh? You serve the Lord. If you are in the house, you serve the Lord. Yes. All my cats are Christians, I tell you. My dogs are Christians. You come to my house, you see, the dog doesn't eat the cat, but they are all born again. They are converted cats and dogs. How do you love the Lord? You love the Lord by giving him yourself. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:5. This they did, not as we hoped, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord. Their own selves. Whatever job you do, whatever life you have, giving yourself to God, very important. Don't tell me what you think is important. That's what will spoil your relationship. Accept what is important to the person. You can never determine what's important to somebody, especially if the person says this is what is important. That's why relationships are so bad. I say this is important, you say I don't care. Yeah. And then secondly, by giving. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave a great treasure to you and I. And what do we get from it? Flatness. Nothing. That's why I wrote the song. If I give my heart to you, what will you do with it? If I shed my blood for you, what will you do? If I give you my heart, will you tear it apart? You can love God until you are very close to God. Galatians chapter 5. I'll show you something. Galatians. And I'm going to ask you to let this be your aim. What I show you in Galatians. Will you let it be your aim? Wow. James chapter 5 and verse 22. Oh, sorry. James chapter 2, sorry, 23. James chapter 2. Now, let's read verse 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works his faith was made perfect. Look at verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said what? Abraham believed God and what? It was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. He was called what? The friend of God. You can develop your relationship with a very great person until the person calls you his friend. It's true. Yes. Of course, he has to call you a friend. You don't have to say he's your friend. Now, what is a friend? This is the definition of a friend. A person who you like and enjoy being with. That's the definition in Webster's Dictionary. A person whom you like and enjoy being with. Is it not true? Is that not what a friend is? So now, if God calls you his friend, it means you are a person whom he likes and enjoys being with. And God is your friend, it means you have liked him so much. Now, let's take, who is your friend? Your party. You know, friendship is most important in when you are a teenager. Your most intense relationships are teenage time of your life. That's when you have most, like, oh, my best friend is this. That's when you hear the word best friend. After that, you don't have so many friends like that. It's different. Do you see? But like, if you can cast your mind back, I don't know how old you are, to where you used to have what you call best friends, you will see that those people, like, you like being with them, and you really like them, and you enjoy being with them, and you like them. Yes. And if you have those friends and you continue to grow up, your children become friends, and they even think you are related. Your children will even think you. They are cousins. Like my children, Bishop Saki's children, Bishop Eddie's children, they think that they are cousins. Because it's even more than a blood relationship. They're just friendship. So you can like God so much. And by the way, I'll tell you a secret. It's just between me and you. Whatever you are feeling towards somebody, the person is feeling the same thing towards you. So like when you are bored with somebody, the person is also bored with you. When things are, there's no flow from your end, there's also no flow from that person's side. Oh yes, yes. When you really like somebody, usually the person also likes you. So now you can love God so much that you become the friend of God, like Abraham. You can become the friend of God. God will really like you and enjoy being with you and blessing you, looking after, especially if you have a powerful friend. Wow. Boyfriends and girlfriends, have they not been buying cars for them? Bought a car for his girlfriend, bought a ticket for her, give her shopping, done this, paid for that, done this, built a house. Or you've not heard of it. You are foreigners. Wow. God can, he was called the friend of God. All the first love children are going to be called friends of God. God enjoys you and God likes you. And you like God and you enjoy being with God. And if you love God, you will prove it to him by giving yourself and giving to him always. You'll be giving to him. You'll be giving to him all the time. Yes, you'll be giving to him all the time. So I am giving you a target. You see, you can relate with me till you become my friend. It depends on you. I don't have so many friends, but I have some people that are friends. Yes. I have people that are friends. There are people that are just church members. There are people that are acquaintances. There are people that are closer members. But you can be a friend. King Solomon had a friend called Zabud. Do you think President Muhammad doesn't have friends? Apart from the official appointees, he has friends. That when he's tired of all the official things, Charlie, I need some people that I don't... No cameras here, no posing. Let's be ourselves. Yeah. You can be somebody whom God loves and whom you love. You love God. A friend of God. Amen. How many want to be friends with God? Ha. Romans 8:28, what does it say? Romans 8:28, it says, we know that all things work together for good to Christians. To who? To those who love God. Those who love God are those who are experiencing great blessings. Amen. Friends of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. Famous scripture. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Those who love God have things prepared for them. Fantastic things. Nobody has heard of those things before. Who has ever heard of First Love Center? Had you heard about it before? Had you ever heard about it? I've never heard about it too. Who had ever heard of the Kodesh? Had you heard about it when you were, for all these years? Had you heard of a book called Transform Your Pastoral Ministry? I'd also never heard about it. Most of the things I see fall into this category of eye has not seen, ear has not heard, things that God had prepared. Everybody say prepared. You'll be there. You will be there. God is preparing wonderful things. Some of you, you look down on yourselves. You see yourself as very low. But God has prepared things for his lovers, those who love him. Yeah. You cannot imagine the wonderful things God has prepared. All things work together for good for those who love him. Even if you marry the wrong person, it will work for good, I tell you. Once you love God, even the wrong marriage, even an IMC can work together for your good. An IMC is difficult, eh? Ish. IMC is very difficult. Do you know IMC? Did I tell you what is IMC? Ill married couple. It's next to hell. If you want to go to hell, get into an IMC, you get a foretaste of how it's like to get near to hell. The next door, the next accommodation next to hell is an IMC. They are neighbors. When a person is experiencing an ill married couple situation and he starts to speak, you feel like crying. Yes. I've seen people burst out in tears. They just burst out in tears when they hear stories. They say, no, it cannot be that a person is experiencing this. But God has prepared things for those who really love him. And I want to be a friend of God. And you are also going to be called a friend of God. Another definition of a friend is a person attached to another by feelings of affection. Abraham was called a friend of God. It means Abraham had feelings of affection for God. He had feelings of affection for God. Those feelings of affection made him give himself, made him give his son, made him hospitable to strangers and angels. When the angels came, he started making food for them. Have, eat. There's no hunger here. Eat everything. It made him go and it was a man full of love. When God said, I will give you a son, I need your son. I love you, God. What you and what else? What can I hold back? Wow. Is a man a giver? A giver. Abraham was a giver. And God blessed him. God blessed. He says he was called the friend of God. Like somebody who had feelings of affection for his God. Like David, King David. You could hear from the psalms and the songs that he sang that he liked God. How many realize you can hear from the songs that you like God? Yes. Even John Wesley and Charles Wesley, you can hear from the songs. Do you know that apart from the first church, the Methodist church is one of the, like, since Jesus came to this earth after the first apostles, the Methodist church is one of the churches that came from a man who rose up loving God and his brother too. You hear in the songs. And that's why they said, don't change the words of this Methodist hymn. If you change, don't change the words. You hear from the songs the love they have for God. And no wonder eye has not seen, ear has not spread out in the whole wide world. You see the Methodist church. A wonderful God lover like John Wesley. Oh yes. Not a perfect man, but a lover of God. Not a sinless man, but a person with affection. Those of you who know Methodist hymns, those who went to Wesley Girls, you know the songs. Or are you not here? Some of you from Wesley Girls. Did you not learn the hymns? Yes. And can it be? Those are the. And what are the songs? Take my life and let it. Is it Methodist? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord. Is it Methodist? Charles Wesley? Hey, and what other song? Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Who else went to Wesley Girls? AJ, what other song? All for a thousand tongues to sing what? My great Redeemer's praise. And what again? Huh? I need a person who went to Wesley Girls. How sweet the name of Jesus. Is it true? Methodist? How sweet the name of Jesus, sir. I believe, yes. These are lovers. They liked God. I tell you. Which other song? What a friend we have in... You are lying. Methodist? Wesley? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what needless buffet. Oh, what needless baby bear. Because we do not have everything to God. What a friend we have in Jesus. What other song? Such people. Huh? In the cross. In the cross. In my glory ever. Till my raptured soul.
Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
My Jesus, I love thee. Is there a song like that? How does it go?
Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine.
You see, some of you didn't go to church.
For thee, yeah. All the treasures of sin I resign.
These people loved God. These people, what other song did they sing?
When I survey their wonders.
When I survey. Is it also Methodist? When I survey
the wondrous cross on which the King of glory died, my riches gain, I count but loss and poor content on all my pride.
God has given John Wesley and Charles Wesley something that I has never seen before on earth. One man from England, the whole world is covered with his fruits. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. A lover of God, a giver of himself and of everything. Even he entered an IMC. If you ever want to understand IMC, go to John Wesley. His life, and he left a couple of letters that he wrote to his wife. That's how come we know. And I put them in one of my books. You see. Yes. But I tell you, in spite of all over, I was at a town in Buzia. Yeah, I think it's a town. Buzia Beach. Somewhere, Buzia down there. Oh, we got to the corner there. Yes, Methodist. Yeah, built. Buzia Methodist. Yeah, built. Nice. All over the world. You will go, you will see them. You see, there are things reserved only for lovers of God. Yeah. So what I'm preaching again, you see, you may look and say,
I don't really, I mean, like what you are saying is, I mean, it's nice and all those things, but you are saying, I mean, I don't know what I should do. Listen. Look.
You see, you are starting to spoil the relationship. You are starting to spoil the relationship. When somebody says what is important to him, believe it. And it means giving yourself and giving things to him. Give him your time. Give him your life. Give him your money. There is no rich person who doesn't give. Oh. There is no prosperous believer who is not a giver. There's nothing like that. If you are going to see the kind of wealth and prosperity that comes, the type which can be described that eye has not seen. Even the prosperity of this church, I have not seen. Yes. If you are going to see, I have not seen prosperity, become a giver. You know, we are already blessed in the church. Our church is full. Our churches are full. By the grace of God. Here and here, no, it's a church. Here and here, no, it's a church. But we go out to have Give Thyself Holy conference. We spend money. We are in Zimbabwe. They have nothing. When we say nothing, I think you don't understand it. When we say nothing, you don't get the full message. Nothing is nothing. And we are spending, I don't even want to mention the amounts. Huge amount. But it's all from our church's money. To be there. And to go there. It's a blessing. Yes. So I declare on you, eye has not seen blessings. Ear has not heard of such a thing, blessings. Neither has it entered into the heart of anybody kind of blessings on your life in Jesus' name. Yes. And who does it come to? People who love God. Tell somebody, I'm going to be a God lover. Amen. Wow. Now, a friend is somebody you know well and regard with affection and trust. Somebody you know well and you regard with affection and trust. And I have also another definition here. Friendship is a relationship of mutual affection between people. Mutual affection between people. So when we start saying, I am a friend of God, I am a friend, I don't think you understand what you are singing. It's not about bouncing up and down. Mutual affection, like you have affection for God and God has affection for you. That's Abraham. And Abraham is the great, if you want to talk about a person who is blessed, it's Abraham. Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are yours. Then Abraham's love for God must also be yours. Abraham's affection for God must be yours. Otherwise, it's just a song. Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. Look, if Abraham's blessings are yours, you better have his affection for God. To be called a friend of God is not a small thing. You must have affection for him and he has affection for you. Mutual, it's mutual. I just read the definition from the Wikipedia. It's a mutual affection between people. Mutual affection. Nobody will ask you for anything. Real friends, nobody asks for anything. Ask you, please, I beg you, I need something. It's beggars are not your friends. They beg you. And their friend, you will not ask. I know you need, and I will solve that problem before you even ask it. 1 Corinthians 13, to end. 1 Corinthians 13, to end. Now, this passage is usually used about for love between human beings, but I don't see where it's written human beings. Hey. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not love, charity, which is agape love, or the love of God, actually. If you speak in tongues and you have not love, you have become a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. This is what you sound like in heaven when you start praying. God says, turn off the sound, turn off the loudspeaker, turn off. What's that noise? What's that noise? Mute it, mute it. Turn off that noise. And you don't love him. You don't give yourself to him. We can never find you serving the Lord. yourself, you have to be dragged as like a fish that has been caught in the sea. You have to be dragged out of the water. You have to be dragged out of your hostel, out of your room, to come to church like a fish, like a whale that has been caught and being dragged out of the water. Better close your ears, because it may go off before I finish making noise here. That's, can you imagine? You think you are praying, oh God, oh Father, it changes into... Whoa, whoa, whoa. Verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know all mysteries, all knowledge, and I have all faith, so as to remove mountains. And I have not love, I am nothing. I'm nothing. So it means you can have faith and you don't have love. Faith works by love. So I have faith, yeah. So I believe in God, but no love from God. For God. So better watch out. Those of us who feel that we are men of God, loving God. I want to say, look at John Wesley. John Wesley. These are God lovers. Of all the pastors I've ever read about, he was a God lover. His fruit is there. It's working without him. He never... When God will give you sons. James Cartwright. Is it Cartwright? The American method, Asbury. He went and just did everything in America. Rode around the whole of America. Methodist. Ghana, Methodist. Methodist. My mother-in-law is Methodist. Since I met my wife, I know Methodism from them. My wife sings from morning to evening hymns in the house. Just singing. Oh, no, 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 no. Hey! Even when she's angry with me, she will sing through the songs, and I'll see that there's a message in the song. Hey! Hey! And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burnt, and I do not have love, I gain nothing. In other words, if you don't love God, is it possible to give so much and not love God? Yes. Look, there are many organizations that do wonderful things. SOS. SOS, they look after orphans. Beautiful, all over the world. We were in Guinea-Bissau, Kanchungo. I saw SOS there. A whole institution. Kanchungo in Guinea-Bissau. All over you see SOS. Vision, World Vision, they make boreholes. Many, many, many organizations doing great things. Of compassion, caring for people, helping this, helping that, and you don't love God, you are nothing. Still, I'm sorry to say. Gates Foundation. Yeah, don't believe in God. Bill Gates Foundation, don't believe in God. And they are the ones probably giving most money. Malaria, this. Now there's a paint for malaria. Did you know that? You paint your house and the mosquitoes will die. Wow. And you have mosquito net for malaria mosquito net. And you don't love God. Charlie, today's message is started about your relationship. Oh. Charlie, when the person says, this is what I like, or this is what's important. If the person says, talk, and you don't talk, the person says, be quiet. I said, I don't know how to be quiet. What the person says, I said, he said, I don't like all these corpses, this thing you are doing. Stop it. Hey, you are spoiling your life. Verse 4. You know, give me NIV. This one is, or NASB. NASB. Or NIV. Love is patience. You have to be patient. If you love God, you be patient with God. It's like God will answer your prayers. Don't be impatient with the word of God and with God. Oh, God doesn't answer me by tomorrow. Look, I've waited for a beloved. I'm 27. I'm 28. I'm 29. Lord, you have your last chance. This Sunday is your last opportunity to get somebody to propose to me. No. Love is patient. Be patient with God. Many people are impatient with God and with God's blessing. I have no time for this God stuff. I pay tithes, I don't see the result. I have no time. But if you love God, love is patient. You have to learn to be patient with God. God is God. You love, when you love somebody, you are patient with the person. That's why people tend to divorce later in life rather than at the beginning. Because at the beginning, like the relationship time, they are patient. So, oh, you forgot, eh? It's all right, don't worry. You forgot what I told you, you forgot. Oh, okay. Oh, it's okay. I know, I mean, everybody forgets sometimes. But as time goes by, you lose patience with that forgetting. So, I told you 1,000 times. I told you what I want. I said this. You see now, I told you, this is your last chance. Your love is getting finished. That's why you are losing patience. Love is kind. Hey! How can I be kind to God? And love is not jealous. How can I be kind to God? How many want to know how to be kind to God? On this side. On that side. You want to know how to be kind to God? Are you sure if you see God, you'll be kind to Him? The Bible says, if a man says he loves God whom he has not seen, and he has a human being in front of him whom he can see, how can he say that he loves God when he does not love the person whom he can see right there in front of him? So many times, your love for God, your kindness to God, is seen in your kindness to His people, or in your kindness to His house. You know, there are people, when I see their children, I'm just touched with extra love. If a man say, I love God, hates his brother, it's a lie. He loves God. Can you love the God whom you have not seen? When you need to show love to somebody and you can't see the person, sometimes you can see the person's child. Look, I'm sorry if you are not a pastor's child, but pastor's children are important to me. Yes. There are so many people, when I see them, I say, oh, this is your father. Oh, then I have some extra interest. I have interest in all. But when I see this, the children, because your love, you love the person, you love the person's, whatever is associated with the person. Yes. Anyone who loves me will love my son, will love my wife, will love what I love. Or even if I work with people, you love me, you love the people I work with. So love is kind. You show kindness. Anybody who comes to the house of God and shows kindness to the house of God. My father-in-law was like that. He bought an organ for the church, bought this for the church, bought that for the church. I saw it from the time I knew him. He had some kindness. And even towards priests. He loved pastors, priests. Yes. You know, I was, you see, my father-in-law could have been my grandfather. He could have been my grandfather, apart from being my father. You know, some people, the age difference said that he can be your father or your grandfather. You can give birth when you are 70. You don't know. Huh? People are working at the age of 70. Can you hear me at the back? Yeah. So, my father-in-law, he loved, my wife's father, he loved pastors. Sometimes we go as a family, and I'm part of the children, and I want to sit in the garden with the rest of the children. Then he said, no, come and sit here with the other Methodist priests. And I didn't like it at all, because I don't know them. I don't have to, the whole evening I have to sit by these people. I don't really know them, and I have to be quiet and very formal for the whole evening. I wanted to say, we are all chatting at the back. No. Bishop, come here, Bishop. Yes, he always gave me such honor because I was a pastor. Those who love God, they love his representatives. They love his children. They love the things that they. It is. That's how to be kind. Love is patient and love is kind and it's not envious. You are envious of me. Those who are envious of God's servants, you don't have the love of God in you. Love does not brag and it's not arrogant. When you are puffed up in the presence of God, you don't love God. When you love God, you can lie down. You can be happy. But when you are big, can you see me? You can see me. See well, oh, big shots. See well. When you love God, you can. I know a pastor who says, he said, I roll on the floor when I feel happy in church. Every time he's happy. So God has done something. He starts to roll. I don't know how to do it, but he rolls this way. Yeah, he said when he feels God is done something, he just rolls on the stage. I've seen him rolling many times. Yeah, one day I came to give thyself holy song. He came there and he just rolled on there. He stood on there and just rolled. He said he's just happy. When he sees the conference, he's happy. He said he's happy that God has made him meet me. Don't be too big in the church. Love God by just being normal. Look, when you come to church, just forget about everything. Forget about the person. If sitting by that person intimidates you, doesn't let you feel free, doesn't let you flow, maybe it's your brother in sin or your sister in sin. So even when you want to say amen, he's looking at you and say, hey, is it you who is saying amen like that? I didn't know you were spiritual after what we were doing last night. You need to move away from such people. Increase your volumes, please, for the back. They are not hearing so well. Sound people. Verse 5. Does not act unbecomingly. Increase your volumes, please. Does not act unbecomingly. Does not seek its own. When you love God, you don't seek your own. You seek what God wants. It's not provoked. God can't hurt you, and his servants cannot offend you. Read it. It's not provoked. So many of us, something's for us. I'm never coming back here again. I was sitting at the desk, asked me to sit here. It has happened over one pastor. I once asked him to sit to do something in church. That was it. The next Sunday, he was sitting at the back, and after that, he was off. Yes. He didn't like what I told him. When you love God, you'll not be offended. If I was to be offended, I would have left Lighthouse long ago. It's true. If I was to follow offense, I would have left long time. It's not easily provoked. Yes. If you like be easily hurt, God will give you a person to marry who is easily hurt. You will fear. You will see. Everything you do, the person is quiet. What's wrong? Oh, nothing. What's wrong? Oh, nothing. Why are you not flowing? Oh, nothing. I'm okay. Love is not provoked. And love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Some of you think God is doing you wrong. But later you find out that he hasn't done anything wrong to you. There are times that I've felt, oh God, why? But God, you can't be hurt with God. Don't take into an account a wrong. When you are a Christian, you experience hurts, wrongs. All the time. And it seems that God should have intervened. Or sometimes it seems that God is the one doing it. And sometimes God does. God is wild, though. God told Ezekiel, I am about to take away the desire of your eyes with a stroke. The desire of his eyes was his wife. Yes, he told Ezekiel. He told him, I'm about to take away the desire of your eyes with a stroke. Like this, stroke. With a stroke. As for you, son of man, I will take the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Then the Bible says, he went and told the people in the morning, in the evening his wife died. Yes. To serve God is not a small thing. And it was a message to the people. He said that, and God told him, when your wife dies, don't cry. Don't wear mourning clothes. Don't go around normally. And the people will ask you, what are you doing? And you will tell them, what I'm doing is what you will do. I am assigned to you. How I didn't mourn, I had no time to mourn. That's how your life will be. You are going to suffer and you won't even have time to cry. Read your Bible. When you love God, none of these things will offend you. You are his servant. Carry on. Verse 6. Love. When you love God, you don't rejoice in iniquity. You don't rejoice in unrighteousness. You rejoice with the truth. Verse 7. Love bears all things. When you love God, you bear all things that you are expected to be as a Christian. Yes. Hope all things. Believe. You believe all the words. If you love God, you believe him. When he speaks, you believe. You hope. You believe. You endure all things. Amen.
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 When you love God, you endure everything that comes with God. You bear it all. You endure it all. Because you love God. Christianity includes bearing all things. Loving God includes. So if God loves me, God will give me a car, God will give me a house, God will give me the God. Sometimes loving God includes bearing all things, enduring all things, hoping all things, believing. Those who love God, they believe when they hear the testimonies and they hear the preaching, they love God. Verse 8. If you want short sermons, you have to go to another church, because here we don't preach short. You must go to another church. Very important. We will not change what we do here. We have so many options. Yes. Love never fails. Love never fails. If there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away with. Love will not fail. Just loving God is more than all your prayers. Yeah, it's more than all your prayers. No, I'm serious. Loving God is more than so many things will fail. Prophecy, tongues, there are tongues that will fail. Prayers will do not work. Loving God. Loving God is the highest thing you can do. It's the greatest command. Tongues will be failing. Knowledge will be failing. Prophecies will be failing. But your love for God is winning for you. Wow. Verse 9. I love it. I love it.
I love it.
We know in part. We prophesy in part. Verse 10. When the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. The perfect is coming now. The perfect is loving God. That's wow. More perfect.
Teach.
Love God. Become his friend. Become his friend. Become his friend. I want you to become God's friend. Mutual. You and God. Love God. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child. I used to think like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Wow. But we see through a glass. Next one. Now there is faith. There is hope. Faith in God. There is hope in God. And there is love for God. But the greatest of these is your love for God. There is faith in God, hoping in God, and then loving God. The greatest is your loving God. Yes. Is it not true? You see, we can come and preach about faith. We can preach about hope. But the greatest is your loving God. Yes. When you love God, 1 Corinthians 2:9 will happen. Don't forget 2:9. 2:9 is like saying too nice. 2:9 is like too nice. 2:9 is too nice. Everybody say 2:9 is too nice. What is 1 Corinthians 2:9? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Too nice. Say 2:9 is too nice. Yes. I love it. I love it. How many are going to love God from today? What are you going to do to show that you love him? I mean, how are you going to prove it? You're going to do what? Give yourself. And number two, you're going to give him what? Things. Yeah, stuffs. How many are going to be patient with God? And God seems to be there. How many, wait, let me tell, how many have felt that God is slow? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you felt. Look at the people in the corner there. Looks, they all feel God is slow. But when you love God, you say, no, God, you are on time. I know a brother who entered a relationship with a sister who was always late. Like, her problem was lateness. But because of his great love, he overlooked. But actually, the lateness was wild. Like, sometimes, 3 hours. So you've arrived at the airport. This is the time you're arriving. 3 hours later. 2 hours. 3 hours. And the lateness was into 2, 3, 4 hours. That was her main manifestation. But all through the relationship, we didn't see it. It was just, oh, patience. Oh, it's okay. I've been waiting at the airport for 3 hours. So no problem. The flight arrived at 7. You came at 10. You came to pick me at 10 o'clock. But it's okay, it's okay. And he married her like that. And I'm sure he's experiencing it more now, more. Last time I saw, they are having 2 cars. One goes, one comes. Yes. Tell somebody, I'm going to be patient with my God. I love my God. I love my God. And be kind. Love him. Amen. Stay in his house. Serve him. It's my greatest message to you is to love God. Is the great command. Look, those of you who love somebody very much, be careful. Especially if your love is very strong. Something may prove to you that loving God is more important than loving somebody. Yeah. I pray it will not be painful. But love God is the great command. Stand to your feet. All right. How many believe that we have air conditioners? You must love the Lord and buy them, isn't it? All right. I want everybody here, just lift your hand and just ask the Lord to help you to like him. God, look, excuse me, wait. God is not begging you. Like, it's not that like, he's hot, like he needs friends. It is your interest to love God. Lift your hand and ask God, I want to love you. Help me to be your friend. To become a friend of God. Father, thank you for your blessing of your word today. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Pray for a moment. Pray. We give you praise. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, every head bowed, every eye closed, you are here today. I want to say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Maybe somebody invited you to church, but you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You want to say, Jesus, come into my life and change me. I want to be your servant from today. If you are here like that, wherever you are standing or sitting, I want to give my life to God today. Just lift up your right hand, wherever you are standing, and I'm going to pray with you. Just lift it up high. Thank you. I see your hand. Yes. So many hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want Jesus to come into my life. I don't want to go to hell. Somebody invited you to church. You know you need God. This is your chance. Your hand must be up. This is your last chance. God bless you. God bless you. If you are here, you've lifted your hand, you want to give your life to Jesus, come to me from where you are standing. Come to the front. I want to pray with you quickly.
Come on to Jesus. Give him your life today. Come on to
Jesus. Come all the way quickly. I want to pray with you now. God bless you. God bless you. Come and stand
let
right here.
Let him have his way.
I want to give my life to Jesus
come
today.
On Jesus. Come on to Jesus.
God bless you. God bless you as you come to the Lord.
Give him your life today. Come on to Jesus. Let him have his way. Come on to Jesus.
Your hands and say this prayer with me. Now, if you are here and you are a Christian, but you are not a good Christian, like you are a Christian, but you know you are not a good Christian, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I'm a Christian, but not a serious Christian. But today, I want to be a serious Christian and serve the Lord and love God. If you are here like that, also lift your right hand quickly. Quickly, I'm a Christian, but not a serious Christian. And come to the front very quickly. I want to pray with you. Come. Come and quickly, very quickly, please. I'm a Christian, but not a good Christian. I want to love God. I want to take God seriously
give
from today.
Him your life today.
I want to pray with you as well. I'm a Christian, but not a good Christian. I want to be a serious Christian and I want to love God from today. Come on and join me right in front here. Come on.
Come on to Jesus.
I want to be a good Christian. I want to love God. I want to serve God.
Give him your life today. Come on to Jesus. And let him have his way.
Lift your hands all up in front here. Say, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I open my heart. Have mercy on me. Wash me with your blood. From today, I open my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Make me a new person. I give my heart to you. I rededicate my life to you. I rededicate my life to you. I give you my soul. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. Please wash away my sins with the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. From today, I promise, I pledge, I vow to give my heart to you. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Now, I want to give you one of my books to help you to be a good Christian. It's called How to Pray. Would you like that? To know how to pray. So every one of you, this book costs 40 CDs, but I'm giving it to you as a gift. Amen. It's a blessing. Oh, are you clapping properly? What a blessing. Amen. So God is blessing your life today. And when we close, you see the people sitting over there, wave hello. Yeah, when we close, all of you here who are holding the book, I want you to go there. And we are going to have a short meeting with you for 2 minutes. All right, before you go home. We are going home just now, 5 minutes. All right. Your life will never be the same again. Satan wanted to kill you, but Jesus is rescuing you today. Satan wanted to fry you as a kebab in hell. Is it not true? Tell the truth. Raise your hand if it's true. You know. Satan wants to kill you, but Jesus is saving you today. You'll never be the same again. How many of you came forward and gave your life to Jesus? Many, if you turn around, you see many people, they came just like this. They are totally changed. That's the changing. This is what we call turning point. This is the turning point of your life. You'll never be the same. All beautiful girls, Satan wanted to destroy you. Hey! By the time he finished with you, there'll be nothing left. But Jesus is rescuing you today. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Please, after we close, come all the way over there. All right? God bless you. You may go back to your seat. It's time for us to have communion. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. Now, God is blessing us with healing as well. Every time you come to this church, this is holy ground. When you come here, you are blessed. Whatever is molesting you or tied to your legs, when you come here, it's loosened. And you are free in Jesus' name. There is a blessing here. How many know there is a blessing here? Yes. It's a blessing to be here. And God is changing your life forever. So as we partake of the bread and the wine, you may think it's bread, it's wine, but it's not just bread. It is holy, anointed communion, the body and the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life. Life meaning eternal life, physical life, everything about life. Zoe, that's what Zoe means. Life in all forms. If you check the dictionary or the Greek, life, all forms of life. So when Jesus said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has all forms of life, spiritual, physical, life. And that life is the life of Christ, the life of God, God's life. So whatever cannot be in Jesus cannot be in you from today. How many are receiving life? Your kidneys are receiving an extra 5 years of working life. I said your kidneys are receiving extra 5 years. Your heart is receiving 12 years more infusion. Your blood is receiving chemicals that are going to give it more power. Your eyes are receiving long life to see for years. You'll never be blind till you die in Jesus' name. You'll never be blind. All those of you who get D, E, and F in any examination, you are receiving brain transplant today. The life, can you imagine Jesus doing economics and getting F? No, I'm asking you, can you imagine Jesus doing economics as I was getting F? Never. The intelligence, you know, when you read the Bible, you'll be amazed that a 29-year-old person can say such words. There's the intelligence, long last, there's no book that has lasted so long. Yes. Jesus will never do econs or geography. And you see that he is failed. He has joined those who are repeating. You will never repeat any class in Jesus' name. Can you imagine Jesus on admission and receiving a drip? He said, who are you? I'm Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, on a drip. It will never happen to you in Jesus' name. Whatever cannot happen to Jesus, as you receive his flesh and his blood, his life, you are receiving a part of his life. Now, this is why the Catholic Church has lasted for 2,000 years. It's the only church that takes, every time they take communion, is the church with life. It's the only church where the pastors, when the pastor speaks, CNN covers it. Sky News, BBC, everybody. Al Jazeera. The only pastor in the world. By now, it should have been completely spoiled. But it's still powerful. Yes. It's something is imparted. And God showed me that secret some years ago. Yes. The secret of something that can last. So this Holy Communion that we are doing is giving you physical and spiritual life in all forms. Yes. These are the words of Jesus. Stand to your feet.
Brothers, sisters, we are one, and our lives have just begun. In the spirits, we are one.
Father, we thank you as we approach your table. This is now declared to be the body of Jesus Christ. And now, as we receive it, we thank you. Whatever is in the body of Jesus is imparted into our bodies, into our kidneys, our lungs, our eyes, our blood, our flesh is healed through this powerful body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. And now, how many know that there is power? Because the Bible says many in Corinthians, it said some of you are dead and weak and sick because you didn't know, you didn't value, you did not discern that it was actually the body of Christ you were taking. So at this time, whatever power is in the blood, may that power be imparted to you. Your mistakes and your sins, your weaknesses are covered by this blood. May you be healed. May you be set apart by this blood. May the blood answer your enemies in the gates. May no wicked thing come into your dwelling place. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Let any wickedness that has targeted you pass over your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame.
Everybody together.
And I love that old cross.
Yes.
Where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was laid.
And I will cherish.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies the last time lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and extend it someday for a crown.
Place your hand on your body. Father, I thank you for healing power, for mercy. Whoever cannot pay school fees, provide. Whoever is short of money, provide. Whatever is not in the life of Christ, take it out of our lives. Heal us of our plagues, of curses, of wicked diseases attaching themselves to us. Heal us, Lord, by your power today. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted, amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dyke-Ward Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.